us a moment. Today's scripture is going to be easy to find. It's in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and the last chapter of that book, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And I give you a moment to get your hands free. And if you're here for the first time, we generally make a little confession before we go into the message. The words will be on the screen. If you agree with them, we invite you to join us as we make this confession together. Ready? Would you join me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Sound great. Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 6. Then he, speaking of an angel, said to me, John was one of the closest followers of Jesus in this life. Now John is up in age, and he gives John this revelation, and it says that these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Verse 7, behold, Jesus says, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy. In other words, we do what he says, keeps the words of this prophecy, of this book. Verse 8, now I, John, saw and heard these things. And he was so overwhelmed at the revealing of Jesus, the Son of God, in all of his glory, even though he walked with him on earth, he now sees him in a different way. And so he says, I saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. God used an angel as a messenger to reveal details of the future to John. And in both the Old and New Testaments, the word worship really has an idea of bowing or kneeling. And so that's what it speaks of here. John started to bow down to the angel. And the angel stopped him, and this is what it says in verse 9. Then the angel said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. And then here is the instruction, worship God. And I like how it's worded in the New Living Translation. It says it this way, worship only God. And that's the message this morning, three words, worship God. Only God. Would you say that with me? Worship only God. And so this morning, I actually would like to start today and maybe the next couple of Sundays on the theme of worship. And I'll just include praise and thanksgiving under the broader category of worship just to keep it simple. But worship is one of the main themes in all of the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And this morning, I'd just like to ask and answer two questions. First, what is worship and why is it so important? So what is worship? And then why are we only to worship only God? And this, the reason this is important is because worship affects how we live. This is a Bible truth, again, from cover to cover, worship affects how we live. So what is worship? You could stay here in Revelation. We'll stay there, but I'll put a couple of references on the screen if you want to write them down. Let's see what Jesus had to say about worship in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, this is Jesus speaking, and I'll read two verses, verses 23 and 24, as he's speaking to a lady here, and he says to her, and really to all of us, verse 23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, I love that phrase, the true worshipers will worship God. It says, worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. So the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and the Father is seeking those who would worship him this way. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. That verse, I'd like to give you a little challenge. I want to encourage you and challenge you to try to memorize that verse this week. If you haven't already, just to focus on what the Lord says, to let that truth get in our heart. Maybe just repeat it to yourself, you know, a few times during the day and try to learn that truth of it. But before we go back to Revelation, or before I join you there, would you read verse 24 out loud with me on the screen? And let's read it together. If we read it off the screen, we'll be on the same translation. Ready? God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So true worship then, as Jesus said, is in spirit and in truth. So it comes from our hearts. In other words, it's genuine. That's what worship, it's not just bowing, because we can do outward actions and our heart be far from the Lord. So worship then, just a real simple definition again, Old and New Testament, means to honor. So when we worship God, it's coming from our heart, it's genuine, we honor him, and we express our love to him, and we reverence him. So to honor, to love, and to revere, that's really the idea of worship throughout the Bible. Worship, to honor, to love, and to revere. That means we have a holy reverence and awe of God for who he is. Worship recognizes God's true worth and places him in the highest place. That's what worship is. That's why we worship only God. Now, I want to really emphasize this. True worship is expressed in various ways, but true worship will always, would you say always? Will always focus on the Lord and glorify him. That's worship, is directing our focus to him, glorifying him as we honor, love, and revere him. So worship only God. And then why do we worship only God? Two reasons. First, who he is, and second, what he does. We worship God first for who he is, and then we worship God for what he does. If you're there in Revelation 22, would you turn back to chapter 5? Revelation chapter 5. And if you hold your spot there, I'll read one scripture from Isaiah as well that really fits in with this to make the connection. God is in a class all by himself. Someone says, you are God all by yourself. No one else. He has no equal. He really has no comparison. The Bible teaches us that God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, and God is everywhere present. The Bible says this. This is the Lord speaking in Isaiah 45, 22, if you just want to write it down. The Lord says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. God is the perfection of all virtue. God is good. I could just ask you today, what are some virtues of God? I mean, God is good. God is holy. He's true. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is love. And those are the primary reasons we worship him for who he is. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Then I looked, and again, John is seeing in heaven. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures or beings and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. It was a large crowd. And saying, not only was the crowd large, they had said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, and then every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. They said, that's true. We're in agreement with that. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. God is awesome. That means he is awe-inspiring. There is no one like God. And that's That's the main reason. If we worship God first for who he is, the scripture bears this out, and I've seen it, I've experienced it in life. If we worship God first for who he is, in other words, if we honor, love, and revere him, then we will draw close to him when we're in those times of adversity. We'll draw close to him in those times of trouble and trial and testing. We'll draw close to him in our times of fear. We'll draw close to him in our times of suffering. We'll draw close to him in our times of loss because he is good, because he is faithful, because he is love, because he is merciful, because he is true, and we draw closer to him. Many of you are familiar with the account of a man in the Bible named Job, right? Remember that he went through such calamity and loss, and in that first chapter, lost his finances, business, his children, and this is how Job responded. It says at the end of that chapter that Job grieved. It was a sign of mourning back then to tear your clothes and to just, he fell before the Lord. And this is what it says. He worshiped him and he recognized, he said, I didn't bring anything into this world and I'm not taking anything out when I go. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. And here's the last verse of that chapter. It says that in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Because he went through his battles and he was honest with God. He eventually got to the place where he was saying, Lord, where are you? You're taking it out on me. What did I do? He hadn't done anything. And he eventually was brought to a place of greater revelation. Job never really had all his questions answered. Just like us in this life, we won't have all our questions answered. But when it is all said and done, he had a greater revelation. He said, I've heard about you before, but now that I've been through this trial and this time of loss and I've seen your faithfulness, I've heard about you, but now my eye sees you. I have a greater revelation of who you are. And he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And so he went through that. I was reading, even in today's devotion, one of the devotions I read, a lady who had lost a friend, a close friend, says she died very suddenly. And the first Sunday she went to church afterward, she didn't even want to go because her heart was heavy. We understand that, don't we? She didn't want to be around people. She didn't want to be around, especially people praising the Lord. She went to the one of them, you know, hand clapping, tambourine playing churches. And so her husband basically he didn't drag her, but he really did encourage her to come on. So she went, and her plan was, I'm just going to sit in the back and just sit by just stay to myself here. And a kind gentleman offered her a seat right up on the second row. And so she comes in, they're already praising the Lord, and they're clapping and everything, and she just comes in, and she sat down on that second row and just buried her head in her hands and started to cry. And she started thinking, I know people are going to wonder why I'm doing this. And she really did. She sensed the presence of God there, and she really did want to experience some of that goodness for herself. So she said, I couldn't even speak, but I could lift my hands. So while she just lifted her hands, and this is what she says. I suppose, she says, this was huge for me. Didn't seem like much maybe to someone else, but it was huge for me. I realized that even through this difficult and painful moment, I could still worship God. I may not have been able to speak my worship, but my pained heart began to be calmed by the Lord's presence. Worship only God. There's no one else who can do that for us when we're going through that type of a difficulty in that hard time. So we worship God first for who he is, and then second, we worship God for what he does. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says this. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created how many things? You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. One of the reasons we worship God, not only for who he is, but what he does, is that God is the only creator. God is the only creator. And do you know how he created? The Bible says he spoke everything into existence, seen and unseen. In other words, in the physical, visible realm, and even in the spiritual, unseen realm, at least unseen with our physical eyes. And in the original creation, God expressed himself. There was the couple, Adam and Eve, and all of creation was in complete harmony with God. That's the heart of God. That's what he wanted from the start. They were in harmony with God. He wanted us to be close to him. He wanted us to know him and have fellowship with him because that was his heart. It's love. And he wanted us to know him, to love him, and to live for him. But the Bible says God created us in his image and likeness, and he created us with a will. In other words, we have the ability to choose. And we can choose to believe God and do his will, or we can choose to not believe God and reject his will. And when Adam and Eve, if you know the account, when they broke God's commandment, it broke their relationship with God. And the evil, the suffering, the sadness, the sickness, sorrow, and death that we see and experience now in this life is not the result of a loving God. It is the result and the sad and evil fruit of sin. So God created us in his image, and that image has been marred not only in us, but in all of creation. But God is worthy to be worshiped and praised because he is the only creator. And then chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, we read these words. Now when he, and that's speaking of Jesus, when he had taken the scroll, which is the will of God unfolded, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Worship and prayer are pictured like a sweet smelling incense rising to the throne of God. When you pray, it's like God takes your prayers and places them in this incense bowl in heaven, and he interprets them according to his perfect will. So please be encouraged to keep praying, even when we don't see the answers. And you know, a situation like this, I'll just mention this real quick. Like with Sherry, we were praying for her physical healing, and we didn't experience the answer to our prayers in the way that we wanted. But I got to thinking, you know what? What about all the prayers that God has answered over the years? Just because maybe a prayer wasn't answered in the way I wanted, and certainly us, you know, the family, but what about all the prayers that God has answered? Thank God for his goodness and thank God for his blessing. So we worship only God. Our prayers, even when they're not answered the way we want, if our heart is right, they're not wasted, and God will bring them all to pass, ultimately in his will. And we look back on it, and I wonder if we'll even have questions when we get in his presence. Some people say, I want him to explain this or that to me. Well, if you do, that's fine. I think I'm just going to be glad. I think I'm going to be there, enjoy the presence of the Lord. I don't even know if I'll have any questions. All I'm going to say is, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Worship only God. But if God, well, let me keep going here. It says in, again, this is Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And you have redeemed us, you've rescued us, you've purchased us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Since God is worthy to be worshiped for who he is and what he does, he's worthy to be worshiped as creator, how much more is he worthy to be worshiped as the only Savior? He is the only one who can forgive sin. He is the only one who can make us acceptable to a holy God. The Bible teaches us that here's how God did it. God the Father loved us so much that he gave God the Son to rescue us from sin and death. And God the Son willingly suffered and died on the cross in judgment for our sins. But he didn't just die. He conquered sin. He conquered Satan. And he conquered death. And 3 days later, he arose by the power and glory of God. And he is seated right now beside his Father in heaven. And now God, the Holy Spirit, convicts us of sin and draws us to the life-changing truth of the gospel, the good news that Jesus is the way to God. And when we believe that truth, then he saves us and we are made righteous before God. All of our sins are forgiven. We are adopted into his family and we have God in life and we will be with him forever. So, amen. We worship only God because of who he is and what he does. Sometimes we say it like this. We worship and thank God for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will yet do, right? So we worship him for past blessings. We worship him for present blessings and grace and his work in my life. Lord knows I haven't arrived. And he works in us, the Bible says, to give us the desire and power to do his will, ultimately conforming us to the image of his Son. And then one day that work will be complete, but not until we see him face to face. But until then, thank God for what he will yet do. And we worship him in faith for what's coming. Would you turn to Revelation 13? I'll close with this. Revelation chapter 13. And while you're turning, would you just turn to someone next to you, give them a lovely smile and say, worship only God. Remember, worship affects how we live because it comes from our heart. Remember what Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 13, two verses, verses 3 and 4. There is this one who is called a beast who arises on the world scene. And it's like he had this deadly wound that was healed. And it says in Revelation 13, 3, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. Now, please notice these words that are linked to worship here. It says, all the world, notice that, and all the world, first of all, marveled. They were amazed at this beast. It says, all the world marveled, and then they followed this one. So they marveled, they followed. Let's pause right there, because that's a problem right there. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So it's, we either follow the lamb or we can be deceived, and the spirit of this beast can lead us to worship. That's really what idolatry is. It's given what rightfully belongs to God to someone or something else. So he says, the world marveled and followed this beast. And then verse 4, so they worshiped. Notice, marveled, followed, worshiped the dragon. The dragon is Satan. You can see that in chapter 12. Who gave authority to this beast, and they worshiped the beast. But please notice how they worshiped him. It says, they worshiped him, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Those words rightfully belong to God. Who is like the Lord? You know the name Michael? That's really what Michael means. Who is like God? And so to say, there's no one like God. That's why it's coming from our heart. We express it in different ways, but we say, there is no one like our God. Now, we appreciate people, and we can honor people, and we can thank people, but brothers and sisters, let's make sure we worship only God. Worship only God. Worship draws us close to God. And it expresses our, again, honor, love, reverence, and gratitude to God. And worship may be expressed in various ways, certainly. Legitimate scriptural ways. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But the first time worship is mentioned in the Bible, here's what it says. A man named Abraham was going to offer his son as a sacrifice to God, but he had grown to such a place in his life, in his relationship with God, in such faith, he knew that God was going to be true to his word. And he said, even if I were to slay my son, God's going to raise him from the dead because he promised me I'm going to have descendants through him. And he had that trust and that obedience. And here's what it says. He took his son, who willingly went. He was a grown man. And he told his servants when he found the place there on that mountain, he said, you wait here. My son and I are going to go worship, and we will come back to you. First time worship is mentioned in the Bible. Probably wasn't clapping or saying, I don't know, maybe it was. But he was definitely obedient. One expression of worship is obedience from our heart. Again, in gratitude, honor, love, and reverence to God. So this morning, I would just like to close and just ask you maybe a soul-searching question, though, between you and God, and just ask you this. Are you in close fellowship with the Lord? And if you're not, you can be. His heart is open. The way is open. Jesus opened it. But that door will not be open forever. But we can come to him now. And I just want to say this. Whatever your need is today, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm not making light of it. I'm just simply saying God is able to meet it. If you need cleansing, you need forgiveness, you need comfort, you need strength, you need wisdom, you need direction. Whatever we need, God is the source, and he can guide us. So I want to encourage you today, would you just come to him in faith? Would you worship him from your own heart? And then will you receive everything that the Lord has for you today? Receive his grace. Receive his peace, his healing, his comfort, and his strength. Maybe for some, you just need a new beginning. You can have it. Jesus offers new beginnings. In fact, every morning, the Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. Thank God for brand new mercies every day. I love the idea. It gives me hope to have a new beginning. I don't want to feel like my past mess-ups have to ruin me forever. Thank God for new beginnings. And we worship only God. Would you say that with me? Worship only God. Let's stand together as we conclude the message in prayer. And if those who are being baptized, if you want to bring them in, they can come on in now. It's fine, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you. First of all, again, I acknowledge that you are God, and you alone are God, and you are worthy of our worship and praise. In the quietness of this moment, may you speak to each heart and draw us, Lord. Draw us to yourself. Draw us to your truth, your will. Lord, maybe someone today has never yet believed in their heart that you died on the cross to pay for their sins. You rose from the dead and never yet confessed you as Lord. Would you draw them to yourself and your family today? Let them experience the joy of forgiveness too. And new forgiveness, Lord, a new beginning, new life. And maybe someone is not as close to you as they could be at once. Lord, I pray, would you draw each of us into a closer walk than you've ever been? Lord, how we need you in these days of deception and darkness. Help us to trust you and give ourselves to you, Lord. In Jesus' name.